Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hey, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well here on another beautiful Monday, at least for myself, out here in California. And are you in Texas today, Bruce?
Yeah, it's a little cloudy and windy, but it's certainly warm out there, so we'll take that.
There you go. Warm, but cloudy. Still, by all stretches of the imagination, pretty good weather by most of the world standards, I'd say.
Absolutely.
Can't complain, right? As I say, every day above ground is a beautiful day.
It sure is. So, well,
I know I've been on a bit of the sabbatical, and apologize to the listeners out there. Not a sabbatical per se, just very intense travel schedule. But it's nice to be back, and nice to be back with some fresh ideas and concepts and tools and growth hacks, to share on with some of our listeners. But before we get on to all that, I'd love to hear just, Bruce, last couple weeks, I don't know if maybe you could share a brief synopsis on, what's been new with you and also with the show. I know we had a dynamic guest on recently, and just some of our takeaways, just to kind of rehash things.
Oh yeah, no, I've had some really good guests come on and talk about how they got into the coaching space, and it's always good to hear people's experiences and how they want to give back to others and help others get to a better place and help others remove negative thoughts and self-limiting thinking and doubts and all the good normal stuff that coaches normally do. And it's always real fun to hear, everybody's, each person has their own unique own unique way of doing that. So one of our prior guests, Blaine Ochoa, won Miss Houston, so she's now Miss Houston. She was on the show a few weeks back, and she won it. So I'd like to think that was because of some of my coaching and encouragement. But I'm definitely going to try to cash in on that. But no, she's doing real well, and maybe have her circle back and talk about some of that grinder stuff that you have to go through as a pageant kind of winner, and then moving forward as the next level of Miss America type of stuff happens. So that's kind of an interesting world that I don't want any part of per se, but very interesting and challenging. But so other than that, it's, we've been just chugging right along and learn about other people. So, but I know that you're back, and man, I just want to hear what also you've been doing with some of the business things you've been doing and any of these other growth hacks. I mean, and that's not to say, right, that our listeners could be on the growth hack side, right? Our listeners could be coaches that are aspiring to have their own podcast and whatnot. So maybe there's some good general things that, that you've experienced that would just be solid hygiene elements to anybody who's going on the air or what have you. So I'll be loving to hear that. So, all right.
Yeah.
So
I'll take a step back, right? It's been a couple weeks, and obviously in those weeks have been, focused on a lot of different initiatives, right? So let me start by saying, again, thank you. You know, sometimes there's a great story, right? Sometimes, you know, we are our own worst enemy, right? And I was on a plane. I've been on a lot of planes recently, but I follow, like you follow, I think the Ticket or some of these sports radios in the Metroplex there in Dallas. And like, I listen to Colin Cowher pretty regularly and ESPN radio and whatnot. And he was talking recently about how, you know, the need to just kind of get out of our own way. And what he meant by that is like, get off the race. And I think I've mentioned this in some of the podcasts. And so I was really, I took that thought. I'm like, okay, need to do that and need to do that to several different, you know, businesses that I haven't played. And obviously the podcast, you know, is a line of business or is one of our initiatives, if you will. So stepping away from that, seeing the whole landscape, right? Seeing what's going on in the market, participating in some other podcasts myself, right, as a guest, right? So that as we come forth and we reformulate and reswizzle things, we have sort of the best of breed, you know, for the market. Because that's really our goal. I think, you know, I know you came on board and started this. You're the true founder of the Concierge Coaches podcast. But me coming in as a newer, fresher set of eyes, I think we would both agree on one thing, which is, hey, we want to deliver as much value as possible to our listeners, because that's really the name of the game at the end of the day. And if we deliver value, you know, they'll share it on, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. So what has Justin been up to recently? Well, I've been in a couple different cities. So at the beginning of May, right, which again, going back a couple weeks, I was at the Serious Decisions conference, which is Serious Decisions and Forrester, which is another leading analyst in the mostly the technology industry, but they serve various different industries and verticals as well. Had a Serious Decisions summit in Austin. So I was there in Austin for 5 days from Saturday to Wednesday. So 5 days. And, you know, I learned a ton there. I mean, everything from how to monetize a growing channel business to how to operationalize your levers, your gears and levers inside of an organization. And it was all perfect timing because it culminated a lot of what I'd been working on with Vablet, my baby project, I would call it, right? My bread and butter consulting project, as well as, you know, other businesses that I have as well. And so here, let me point out a couple of key things to the listeners out there, right, that are probably saying, hey, how do I maximize my business, right? So I'm going to go through a couple of different things, probably somewhat quickly too, just because it's a lot of information. And what I would encourage you to do is you listen to this today and you say, you know what, Justin, that was great. I want to hear more of this. Let us know. Let Bruce and I know, right? We want to hear more topics from you guys directly and or specific experts, because I'm by no means an expert on all of this, right? Think of me as like the guy that is a connector that goes out and finds the right information, shares that on, especially in the context of this podcast, with the hope that, you know, again, you listeners say, hey, this is valuable insight to me. We love hearing that feedback. Or, hey, we want to hear more of that. We love hearing that feedback too, so that we can continue to best serve you, right, and the needs of the market. So let me back up here. So let's start with Sunday. Sunday was sort of like a, lack of a better term, initiation day, right? It's like, hey, we're gonna get you in there. We're gonna get sort of our serious people, because by the way, it was Cinco de Mayo, right? So everyone else is partying, and those that are there at this summit on a Sunday, they're probably pretty serious people. So that to me was actually the best day in terms of getting golden nuggets of advice and wisdom on a market. And they really talked about five key facets, right, in a B2B, mostly B2B campaign framework, although I would argue this would work in a B2C campaign framework. So whether you're serving businesses or consumers or you're a nonprofit, you can ask yourself some of these core questions, right? So the first thing is, who is your organization selling to, right? And this is relative targeting, right? Imagine an arrow that's, you know, directly in the bullseye, right? So your bullseye is a very narrow, small target. But when you hit that target, you get the most points if you're playing darts, right? Well, and same goes for any business when you're creating a B2B campaign framework, right? What is your organization exactly selling? What's the demand type? How do you manage those leads? So, giving an idea of lead taxonomy, demand waterfall, things like service level agreements, SLAs for short. Who participates in that buying process? Who, right? What are the personas that are involved? And how do companies buy, right? What is that buyer journey and what is the customer lifecycle? And then that piece of it, and I'll share more in coming weeks, has really been a key element of what I've been doing with Babbitt. Is it's been the first 8-9 months of working with them, the definition of that buyer's journey, right? And actually creation of that buyer's journey, because a lot of that wasn't benchmarked prior to me coming on board. And by the way, if you're a business, small or large, and no matter how successful, an understanding of the buyer's journey, where you're positioned, and how to guide potential prospects through that buyer's journey. More to share on that. I'm going to get more on that. I'm going to really anchor down on that today in sharing what I do, because that to me is becoming a big paradigm shift in the industry. Especially, we talk a lot on this show in particular about this generational transfer of wealth, you know, between baby boomers through Gen X all the way down to the millennials, right? And what that does for spending and purchasing power, for example. Well, that's all relative as you look at like the buyer's journey of even a B2B campaign or B2B decision-making process. So there's some questions you could ask yourself. I'm not going to go through all the answers and whatnot. Again, if you want more advice on this, again, reach out to Bruce or myself. You know, we'd be happy to set up some time to, you know, investigate further and see if there's a match, and maybe we can help you further in this regard. But, you know, looking at things like the current trends that indicate the likelihood to buy, the general health of a target, pending triggers that would be identified to the target that will force the targets to purchase immediately, right? Has your product's category spend increased in the past 12 months? That's a great question to ask. Has your solution been adopted by leading companies within the target market? That's another great one. What is the perception of your product category? Do existing solutions and companies target this segment? Do you have a database or capability and or list of procurement ability and budget to market to this target? How has this product service in question been designed? How knowledgeable are marketing and sales about the target? Has your organization developed specific messaging needs that address the known needs within that target? And then how prepared is the sales force to sell into the target? So imagine a cross section, right? That was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it was like 10, 12 questions right there. You answer these questions. These questions are going to drive them, depending on how you answer these questions. Again, if you want to know how we really play this out, let us know. You know, we can do an assessment, for your organization or for your business on whether you're an active, a nurture, or a dormant organization. And you're probably asking yourself, well, why is that important? Well, that's going to drive the type of buyer's journey, the type of marketing spend, and all that you should be spending on your business. I talk, and I've talked for a long time, a lot of what I do from a consulting practice perspective is on alignment. And even Bruce, I know he does that more at the personal level on alignment, obviously taking into account more of the person, all the personal environmental factors, right? And health, mental disorder, right? So, beyond just the personal coaching perspective, if you're looking at business coaching, consulting perspective, if your business is not aligned, you're not optimized. That's what it boils down to. And if you're not optimizing, you're leaving a lot of money on the table, right? So what are some core demand types? For example, new concept. Are you a new concept, a new paradigm, or an established market? And that's ultimately going to determine whether you need to be focused on like market leadership, process or solution change, or competitive positioning, put simply. Again, these are items that we could go through with you to help determine currently where you exist and where you should be aligned in order to optimize your performance. And if you were a new concept, a new paradigm or established market, how would that affect messaging? So, for example, if you were a new concept, you're not as concerned about maybe the buyer journey because you're just trying to get people to engage with you, right? Whereas if you're an established market, people know what you do, or they know kind of what the product or service that you sell. So you're more focused on the, you know, buyer stage near the selection phase of the process, right? On, again, we talk about this arc of this buyer's journey. So what does this get at? So retained earnings and your earnings and profit and whatnot every year should be predicated on where you are. Again, established new market, new paradigm, or new concept. If you're a established market, so meaning your business is within that established market niche, you should be spending roughly 20% of your revenue, let's call it, right, back in to awareness, 30% on demand generation, and 50% back into enablement, net revenue, by the way. New paradigm is 20% awareness, 50% demand gen, 30% enablement. Now, by the time you're at new concept, because no one knows what the hell you do, you're actually, it flips the script quite a bit, right? So now you're at 45% on awareness activities, 40% on demand gen, and 15% on enablement. And again, this is by leading. A lot of this is information I'm sharing on is from industry leading analysts that have been doing this for years. A lot of them are PhDs in their respective field. You're talking about the smartest, brightest people on the planet that specialize in, optimizing business performance based on the category that they're in, right? You know, you might have leads, and leads are on a spectrum. We don't talk too much, about sales, but think about, levels from 0 to, let's say, 6. So 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, and at a 0, they're unqualified, working through maybe to a level 3 where they're actively qualified. By level 4, 5, 6, now by 6, they're committed to engage. They're ready to have an agreement in place. You move them through the process. So, for you business owners, leaders, entrepreneurs out there, and even if you're part of a corporate context, ask yourself what type of demand waterfall you've created, meaning what type of funnel activity. And yes, we're talking pipeline, we're talking beyond pipeline. In other words, if an inquiry comes in, let's say through your website, inbound or outbound, how is that fielded and where does that go? Well, well-oiled process, let's call it, well-oiled company, that inquiry should then go to your marketing qualification system, let's call it. And maybe that's a culmination of automation of qualified leads, teleprospecting accepted leads, then that works through to telequalified leads and telegenerated leads, right? Tele, obviously, is we're talking phone, right? So qualified leads, phone leads. So, imagine a lead comes through inquiry on your website. Who's then doing the outbound dialing? Are you? Do you have someone else that's doing it? Are you just doing it all via online? And then what? Okay, so now you're moving them through to the sales qualification. Are these sales qualified leads? Meaning, have they had enough qualification information that you know the characteristics of what they're looking for in a product or service from you? Are they sales accepted leads? And then working those through to become qualified. So now you're moving through the funnel, and now that funnel is getting narrower and narrower to, hey, let's close this business and win it, close it, and close it out so we can move more deals through the funnel, right? It's sales 101, but I want to share that because there's a whole art and process to it. It's an art and a science culminated into one. that if you haven't been thoughtful about and you haven't put pen to paper on and you don't have an actual plan in place that you're actively working the plan, then you have a broken model. All right. And then, And then I'm wrapping it up here. Just the kind of the culmination of all of it and what I shared earlier, which was sort of to me the most interesting piece of this, is the buyer's journey. So did you know that over, it's like 86% of buyers today, meaning if you look for, it could be anything from I'm looking for a pair of jeans to I'm looking for a new product or service and technology to I'm looking for a coach, you know, to work with or consultant, all of that. Clients today, prospects today are repelled by being sold to put it mildly. And the new trend of the foreseeable future, you know, is a self-guided buyer's journey with many touch points along the way, but where these prospects don't feel like they're being sold to. Case in point, perhaps prospect lands on your website, they see a video, right? First thing, they land on the website, they see a video. The video sort of does a great job of grabbing attention, explaining about your business, maybe your corporate mission, and engaging you further. Well, that video maybe engages to another video or video series, shorter videos, right, that they can take bite-sized chunks out of that will explain maybe certain lines of service or products that you offer. And but they're working it through at their, again, self-paced, right? Which might lead through to if they wanted to know, hey, I need a demo, especially if it's a product, right? Or maybe if it's a service that works through maybe your culmination video that would maybe be a little bit longer, but it sort of captures the essence of everything that you do, packages it up nicely. And if they make it through that, then they're a pretty qualified prospect. At that point, then there's an engagement with them. Of you being the owner of the business or you having a team under you that, you know, would be representing your business, et cetera. That is really the new model of today. The old models of, hey, contact us for pricing and quoting, like that's out, right? That's becoming a thing in the past. And it's interesting to note this. And a lot of this, by the way, driven by millennials, becoming so popular, and so they care, us millennials, I guess I could put myself in that category too, even though I sort of try to be transient between many different generations, care about, you know, what's the mission and the vision and the reason behind it, rather than just the, hey, tell me what you do. And also people, if they jump on your website and they don't see pricing, they don't see kind of the imperatives, they're going to jump off. So this is really becoming the new model today. It's driving a lot of change and disruption in the market. We talk about market disruption a lot. This is going to be a major market disruptor for the next 3 to 5 years minimum, that companies are going to have to adjust their model of how they're presenting themselves to accommodate this new class of buyers, right? And it's not just driven by age. It's just driven by preference too. We're asked by society to do more with less. There's less, there's more requirements, which means there's less time in the day. I mean, I guess we all technically have the same time in the day, but more tasks means you can spend less time per task, right? Which means if I'm going to go through a buying process, I want to do it at my pace. I don't want to be sold to. I don't want to talk to a salesperson. I want to talk to a consultant that can answer the questions I have after I've sold myself on your product or service. So that's really the model of the new age. You know, there's obviously AI and machine learning, and a lot of that's being worked on in the background. But, you know, for you business owners, you entrepreneurs, even if you're inside of an organization today, ask yourself, is this organization that I'm a part of, you know, addressing these things? And if not, I would employ you, I'd encourage you to be a disruptor and help pioneer the change, right? Be an intrapreneur if you're inside of a corporate organization. if you're leading or a leader of a business, you know, maybe a smaller business, it's a must. This is a must do in order to be sustainable and win, not just today, but, you know, for the foreseeable future, the next 3, 5, 10 years. This is going to become a major shift, disruptive shift in the market. It already has. A lot of organizations have already started it. I know in technology, Adobe has employed it with a lot of self-guided buyer's journey demos. And their salespeople at Adobe don't even talk to anyone until they've gone through at least that level of the buyer's journey. So really great event in Austin. That kind of calms, as I say, the learning that I took away that I wanted to share on with the listeners, right? Coupled with some amazing networking. I had some fantastic Cuban and barbecue food while I was there. And for any of you that are Austinites, had some hop dotties as well. I think that's how you pronounce it. So really great food there in Austin. Austin's just booming right now. I can't even believe it. And then last week, couple of days in San Diego and then back in OC. So it's been nice to be back in Orange County and, you know, at home for the last couple of days, just touching back and grounded again. But had a fantastic last couple of weeks. So again, thank you for, you know, bearing with me, Bruce. You've been extremely flexible and I appreciate that about you so that I can, you know, kind of go out and bring new valuable, what was hopefully seen as valuable content back to our listener base.
Very, 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 very good stuff here. You know, I actually took some notes here and one of the service lines that I own is a consulting company on these federal cases. And you're right. I what I'm going to do because of this discussion is I'm going to make on that on the YouTube channel, I'm going to make a video for each service. So if you're interested in a classification review assessment, this is what that is. If you're interested in time off because of a residential drug program, here's what that is. If you're interested in more residential reentry center, that's what that is. So I'll kind of break up the service lines that people hire us to do and have a video. And that way I don't have to explain it every time.
You know what I mean?
I don't have to.
You just point them to the video.
Yeah. Did you see the video? Yes. Okay. And like you said, it gives them that opportunity to be sold on us as consultants because we were able to kind of break that down. And so I think that's a great idea, you know, a great idea I'm going to start to do. And I've noticed that. And I wish you would spread this gospel to all these numbnutses on LinkedIn. Like, hey, what's next? I mean, they chase me. I'm sure they chase you too. Like, hey, thanks for connecting with me on LinkedIn. They're just like, man, they just sell. And they're just beating you down, man. It's like, oh my God. You know what I mean? They're almost taking the antithesis of what you said, the trend is emerging toward many of these people, you know?
So I will tell you this, and I will, so self-admitted, I'm actually testing for the last month and a half now, a tool on LinkedIn that automates a lot of the initial, let's call it touch point activity, but I'm doing this more on the Vablet behalf, right? So I'm not doing this for my personal lines of business, although it could be applicable. What I would tell you is if you are using some sort of tool or you're doing that yourself, going and spamming, and let's define spam for a moment, because that's, I think, what you're talking about, Bruce, is the spamming people.
I think so,
Spamming is reaching out to someone that is not in and offering your service or your services or your product to them when it is of no relevant value to them whatsoever. To me, that's spamming. And there's more you could probably say about that. Right. And just doing it and doing it over and over and over again. What I'm talking about, just to be specific, which is also, in my opinion, can become another trend as well that you'll see, because this is automated prospecting and it's got some elements of AI machine learning involved in it, is hyper-targeted prospecting activities that automate. It's no different than hiring a virtual assistant or someone to automate a lot of that for you. There's actually tools out there. And if I'm going and I'm keyword searching and targeting, let's say on Babbitt's behalf, you know, because they're a software player focused on medical device. That's hyper targeted, and I'm only talking to sales and marketing people who are the only ones who would benefit. That's hyper targeted. That's value added. And if they don't want to talk to me further, fine. Right. But what you're referring to, which I would love and I'm glad you brought up, is like if you're a coach and you're going out and you're spreading, you know, your hey, I've got my, which I get those all every fucking week, and it's so annoying. It's like, do you even know what the fuck I do? Why are you bringing forth this product and service to me? And I get it. People get excited. They're like, oh, I've got this, you know, I've got whatever, 2,000 or 1,000 contacts in my LinkedIn. Yeah, but not every one of those is a lead. And if you hit me up with some bullshit, numbnut, as you called it, pitch, and it's of no value to me or no, like none whatsoever, you not only lost my interest, but I now think you're an idiot, to put it mildly. So
yeah,
if I don't unconnect with you, which I might, but I usually don't do that, I'm probably going to ignore any future message from you whatsoever.
Exactly. So, you know, I just kind of color commentary. It's kind of funny how people kind of overreach and in that in certain spheres, man, you're just going to get, you know, that type of person coming at you. I did want to talk about alignment and is your company aligned? And I'm still kind of wrestling with what you might have meant by that. And if you could go over that a little bit.
Yeah. So I've talked in prior shows about alignment, and there's a process that I take my clients through called a multi-contingency analysis, where we'll go through a minimum of 12 different facets and sometimes up to 18 to 20 different aspects of their business. And it's imagine a quadrant system, you know, so each of these areas, you know, it's sort of like quadrant, you know, one or window pane 1, 2, 3, or 4, right? You can only exist in one of the quadrants based on the responses and based on the output of what's going on, right? So you go through these this analysis, and at the end of it you'll find, okay, well, they're in quadrant A on the first question, which is surrounding like their leadership style, you know, incentives and rewards, they were in quadrant C, so on and so forth, through all these different alignment factors, right? In a perfect world, you start from, again, mission and vision and all that, which is one of the leading questions. Once you know that, that should drive the rest of your alignment factor. So you can't have a big, hairy, audacious, profitably driven, you know, mission, vision, you know, make, you know, whatever, $50 billion, but your incentive and rewards are like, you know, nothing, right? Like, oh, well, we want to, you know, give pats on the back. Well, they need to be aligned to that, right? And conversely, so as well. So that's one way to look at alignment. That's more of the organizational structure type. And then there's also alignment of like what I was talking about earlier around, you know, buyer's journey and mapping your organizational, basically your buyer's journey, right? So you need to be aligned through and through. And if you're not, then you're not optimized. I also use like the metaphor, it's like a, you know, domino, you know, you line up a series of dominoes and a beautiful figurine and you're excited for them all knocked down, but you know, half of them are out of place. Well, your domino series is not going to knock over.
Right.
So you're trying to knock over these dominoes in order to maximize your output. And in order to do so, you have to be, you know, aligned organizationally. You have to be aligned from a cultural, you know, cultural perspective, your people, right? Your technology, you know, really everything, every facet of business that you can imagine needs to be truly aligned.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. So yeah, the structural element as well as the buyer's journey, and are you aligned with the customer, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
so it's almost like validity that whole notion of internal validity. Are you doing what you say you're really doing? And in order to do that, you need to be really aligned, certainly internally, you know. One would hope that the company was in line with itself and its own, like you said, mission and vision and compensation and personnel, you know. So, yeah.
And I'd like to add or parlay to what you said earlier about, you know, coming out with snippets for your video series, right? Which was an aha moment for me too, respective to my, you know, website and optimizing that, you know, its performance as well. It will also help with your organic SEO as well, because obviously if you're hyper specializing on, you know, snippet videos, it's great. You're getting the right people to the right video, but also by having all these videos are going to help drive more organic search for your website, you know, via Google and other search engines. So very important on both fronts, not just because of this buyer's journey scenario we're talking about, or movement, I should say, but also organic search, right? So you're going to catch them at the very, very front end when they're Googling, you know, for, you know, law enforcement coaching in Plano or Dallas or whatever zip code, you know, you'll come up as one of the first ones there. So you catch them on the very front end as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And also, yeah, so yeah, has the positive consequence of, when you said, more organic ability to rise up in Google searches and those things, and making sure that the first words of the sentence are good, the title's good, and any other kind of keywords that you use are in line with certain Google algorithms and search terms that people use, you know, for a particular good or service. And so I, you know, it was amazing where a lot of my consumers were saying, hey, if you would have just put federal case or federal crime consultant and not prison, you know, because a lot of these people on the front end don't think they're going to prison or whatever, and that's the last thing they're thinking about. So I thought, oh crap, you know what I mean? How interesting that was from the consumer view versus our view. Like, yeah, everybody's going to federal prison. These judges have a 97% conviction rate. What were you thinking? You know what I mean? They're all going. Nobody's not going to federal prison. That's past a certain point. However, in their minds, as they were going through the, you know, earlier on in the process, which is a good time for us to get retained in that field. So yeah, we had to really kind of, right, like I said, make some adjustments and be relevant to their mindset, not our mindset, and capture more business, you know, by adjusting to our consumer's mindset.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you have to adjust to because they're not going to adjust to you. You know, we have to adjust to them. You know, we have to hear the clients and respond to the clients' needs and demands. Like that's the key. So, I mean, I think you generally get it, right? That's you know, new name, not even new. It's always been that way, but it's becoming even more apparent because I think, you know, 20, 30 years ago, manufacturers of certain products sort of held carte blanche. They held a little bit more posture and leverage. But today there's just endless opportunities. There's abundance of options onshore or offshore that you have to be hyper specialized. You have to be really fucking good at what you do. Really good. Or you're going to get lost.
For sure. For sure. And you're right. A lot of people just don't want to be sold, even in the coaching practice and the mental health practice, which deals with extremely personal things. I see a lot of email inquiries, you know. People won't even pick up the phone, you know, even if it's a porn problem, sex addiction or something, you know, their marriage is on the, you know, my wife caught me, you know, jerking off to porn or whatever. And they'll still, you know, talk about that parenthetically in an email rather than, you know, pick up the phone and, you know, say, hey, you know, are you the right fit for me, etc. So it is a, it is interesting, like to your point, that people will engage, you know, on email or maybe a softer type of a inquiry method than calling somebody directly with the quote company, or speaking with a consultant, or speaking with myself, as the case might be.
I'm curious, like, when you talk to the, or I'm just curious on your process today. Like, let's say someone, do you require a phone or video chat consultation or in-person consultation in order to do business with you?
You know, now with telemedicine and some recent things that have shifted, you know, on the counseling front, it's not necessary, you know what I mean? So I can go in that direction. I just haven't, just because I look at the malpractice aspect of it, and always look to see what can go wrong and stuff like that, particularly, you know, if I was just treating regular stuff like depression and anxiety, I wouldn't be so, you know, vigilant about it. But some of the stuff I do borderlines sometimes on criminal charges and stuff like that. So I really have to be super duper careful. But it, you know, like on my, I have a Psychology Today endorsement, and you know, some of my advertising is on Psychology Today, and then they can fill out something there, you know, as an inquiry, mm-hmm. and then it pushes. I think I have a Psychology Today email, but it pushes to my business email, and it'll be, you know, hey, we're interested in whatever else, and just still very, you know, general about it. And then I have to call or send them an email back and ask them to call, and then they call. So, but anyway, it is interesting how people will want to test out as much as they can before they actually engage with a human being, and don't necessarily want to be sold, you know?
Right.
I mean, everybody that I've got from the psychotherapy and counseling perspective had done their research, had made other contacts or calls, had vetted me through other sources, had looked through other friends and associates and, you know, doctors or whomever, role models and peers, and solicited, you know, a list of possible therapists or coaches or what have you, you know what I mean? And I happened to make that list. So, you know, I'm always very keen to ask, how did you get my information? How did you even know to contact
me? Yeah.
And it's so fun, man. You know, you talked about where, how you put your percentages, you know, and on the counseling and even to a lesser extent, coaching, psychotherapy side, being in that space for a long time, you know, it is fun to see just a good amount of word of mouth, you know, and regeneration and word of mouth people, you know, coming in. It wasn't through Google searches. It wasn't through going to a trade show or, you know what I mean? I'm not really a trade show kind of guy for the coaching and psychotherapy piece, but anyway, yeah, it's kind of fun to see how those numbers morph. Where when I first started out, man, I was shaking hands, kissing babies in the mm-hmm. Chamber of Commerce, and I was on TV when South Lake had cable TV, when Charter.
Oh gosh,
I was on cable TV on this endless loop about counseling services. It's a genius move, you know. And I know we're talking about in the Stone Ages, back when they were like digging up trenches on 1709, right? And before Fios, the old school coaxial cable type of shit back in the 90s, man. And there I was, late 90s, early 2000s, ready to roll with what would be, by your standards, primitive, you know, advertising and ways to get out. But anyhow, so yeah, good stuff, man. I appreciate you. I mean, we could do show after show on just, you know, customer alignment could be a show, and then business alignment could be another show. And then, like you said, the customer's journey, you know, just, you know, and for coaching, you know, for coaching and much less therapy and psychotherapy, man, that's a wide journey, right? Well, we found you through the counselor's office. Well, this inmate in the cell next to me. Well, the soccer mom at Bicentennial Park. Oh,
right.
The manager of Lululemon. So, I mean, it's really interesting the different touch points I might have from jail cell to Lululemon shift manager.
From jail cell to Lululemon. That's funny, man, dude.
That's some variance, bro. Yes, sir.
And you know, you got to have
Bruce Cameron
in today, right? Like, got to have your bases covered, Bruce.
Got to have
jail
it,
jail cell to Lululemon.
From jail cell, from Super Bowl to cell block. Yes, sir. So, no, man. Just depends. But good stuff, man. Yeah, I'm excited to see what, you know, we're going to do some stuff here. We're going to fluff and puff and do some house cleaning here at the Concierge Coaches Show with some graphics and some other stuff. We've been running with our caveman graphics for all too long and need to go up a notch. So you'll be seeing some fresher looking graphics for us on our Facebook and
iTunes. They're not, and listen, like they're not bad. They're just
not bad. No, they're not bad at all. So we're waiting on Justin to take his shirt off. It's that type of time of year.
Oh,
so
God.
We're holding out. Just kidding. So
be careful now, Bruce. You're in trouble now.
I know, man. I'm just saying. Hey, but our ratings won't be in trouble. That's for sure. You might be in trouble, but our ratings will go up, I would think. But that's, I'm teasing kind of in jest there, but it's always nice to look the part.
That's right. Oh, man. You're gonna get me in trouble, Brucey.
I'll be working on my George Clooney. I got the silver hair thing going here and somehow hit the gym and all that. I'm going, by the way, the last week in June, I'll be off. I'll be going to Roatan and Mexico and Belize and going on some sort of a Central American tour of sorts. So, I know.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I'll be putting some stuff up there on social media. We'll see what's going on. And it's my son's senior, you know, it's a senior trip. You know, his gift or whatever, you know, what do you want for your senior gift? And so he wanted to go on a trip. So we're going to do that. Put him on a nice trip.
Aw,
well, that's so sweet. I know.
Oh, aren't you a good parent?
I'm a good parent, man. To a point. And then they pack, then he packs up for college and then there's a whole new side that'll come out. But for now we're still in primary care mode. Yep. So, good stuff there.
Awesome.
Well, so good stuff. Let's kind of keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Keep this rolling with all your new space age stuff, man. I love it. All this millennial
business.
I'll be
in Philly. I'll be in Philly this week, actually. So, we had a graduation. Naomi and I had a graduation last weekend we attended. So, her family. It was her cousin, first female in her family to graduate with a 4-year degree, which is always an exciting time for families that are kind of breaking the mold like that. So really happy for her and
congratulations.
I'd have to have some awesome barbecue when you're out here. We'll have to introduce you to East LA Barbecue. So her uncle runs a barbecue catering business. So fantastic. Awesome barbecue, unique dishes. And then we volunteered actually yesterday in Philly this weekend, another graduation for my protege. His name is Nikita. And he is really one of the sharpest young men I've had the pleasure of working with over the years. So he's graduating with honors from Brenathan out there with private school out there in Philadelphia. He's actually already started his own business. And is killing it already. So, you know, people like that come in and out of your life, so you got to stay in touch with over the years.
Absolutely.
Or at least make an effort to.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Well, sounds like I got some good things to celebrate and growth and development and investing in the next generation. So that is
what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. All right, folks. Well, come by next week. Listen to the show. See what we have in store for you. I guarantee it'll be something very informative and fun and different. Don't forget to see our shows on iTunes. Yes, we have our shows there for you to download on iTunes. They're also archived on the LA Talk Radio on our site. And you can find us on Instagram at the Concierge Coaches, also on LinkedIn. And we won't stalk you if you look at our LinkedIn page. We'll leave you alone. That's a good thing.
Right.
And on Facebook as well. And I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Yeah, it'll be nimmergood.com. So N is in Nancy, I M is in Mary, ergood.com. Look forward to hearing from you and hopefully having the opportunity to work with many of you here soon.
Absolutely. All righty then. Well, until next week, we'll see everybody then here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care. Have a blessed week. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.